Gracias, José. Gracias por tu servicio. Y hola, gente hermosa. Santos, todos y cada uno. That's all the Spanish I'll say.
Sí, señor, gracias.
I said, hello, beautiful people, saints, all and everyone. And I want you to understand that you guys are so special. Not only to me, of course, but mainly to God, because he loves you so much. And he's set things in order so well that unless you can't read or hear, you will be a success. And he's given the instructions. We have the best instruction manual in the history of life. And when we hear the word today, those instructions and that guidance will not be an exception to that rule. I wanted to share two things. The first thing is very, very short, but it's in Philippians chapter 1. And I wanted to show you a little bit more on the logistics of agape. And I find it remarkable as these things continue to be uncovered. But in Philippians chapter 1, first of all, John, I wanted to say happy birthday to you. I know I didn't get to on your birthday, but it sounds like you had an absolute blast. What a great day of celebration it sounds like it was.
Thank you, Jerry, and it was.
Absolutely. And I, as well as everybody, are just so thankful that you were born and that you're able to share your life with us. Thank you very much. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, even as it is meet, the word meet means adequate, for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. That's like being under an umbrella. So Paul had an umbrella of grace, and anybody that stood under it with him benefited from that same grace. How wonderful. Well, we know what grace is. We know it's favor. And we know what it really means practically. We are God's favorite. So Paul was God's favorite. And then everybody standing under the umbrella of grace with him also were God's favorite. So that's a leadership principle too. So I can just by extension say that all of you are God's favorites. Verse 8, for God is my record. Now, I find it interesting that God is a record. He's a record. So you don't have to turn on the computer. All you have to do is read God, and God will simply tell you the truth. God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And the bowels of Jesus Christ represents the innermost feelings of Jesus Christ. The innermost feelings. It comes from the word that talks about your gut, like the stuff inside your belly area. That's as innermost as it gets. And so the innermost feelings of Jesus Christ. I think that's Christ Jesus. I'm not sure. And this I pray that your love. And so this is coming, what we're reading, it's coming from the innermost feelings of Jesus Christ. It's coming from the very depth, the very gut of feeling emanating from Jesus Christ and by extension, Paul. And this I pray, this was Paul's prayer. It's in conjunction with understanding about the innermost feelings of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, he says. And so this is a prayer that your love, well, there's that four-letter word. And I think we should just say agape.
Oh, okay.
And this I pray that your agape may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment of sense. And so we learn agape methodology, and we can see that the release of agape into life has nothing to do with feelings, even though by Paul's feelings he prayed, and by Jesus Christ's feelings Jesus Christ yearned that the believer's agape would abound more and more. So it is possible for agape to grow and grow and grow, to abound more and more and more. And the methodology has to do with knowledge and sense. Common sense, good sense, that's what judgment means. So agape and its release into the world has all to do with what you know about it and your sense of it. So when it needs to be manifested. So you can control all aspects of the release of agape. Well, that's all I wanted to share on that. But I thought it was so significant to see the methodology laid out so clearly. The second thing I wanted to share basically is triggered by a scenario that took place between Gary and me. Because Gary asked that I would pray for him. And of course I agreed. And his situation, which is now remedied, was that he hadn't received pay since very early July. And he needed to make a sale that would actually end up in financing. And he had had several attempts, but all the financing had fallen through. So I agreed to pray for him, and I did. I prayed for him in the morning. I prayed for him when I got up, and I prayed for him at night when I went to bed, and very deliberately, and then throughout the day when I would think about it. And I did that day after day after day. And I also had everybody here praying for him. And that includes the kiddos too. And Sawyer loves to pray for people. And he prayed for Gary too. And so it just made me think about this in Philippians. Turn to chapter 4. And the beauty of this is that you can be part of somebody's life. And you can help them. If you assume the role of somebody who prays. And so it says in verse 15, Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, so there were people in this fellowship of the Philippian believers who had been around since the beginning of Paul's arrival. When I departed from Macedonia, if you're familiar with 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you know that Macedonia had a very large role to play with the release of the abundant sharing doctrine and application. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The Philippian believers were the only ones at the beginning who abundantly shared. That actually abundantly shared, communicated with me. And so when Paul had needs, those needs were met in part by the abundant sharing from the Philippian believers. And this was in the beginning. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. These Philippian believers were wonderful. They abundantly shared and sent some of that abundant sharing to Paul when he was in Thessalonica. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And that must always be the crux of the matter. It's not how big the pot grows. It's that fruit is abounding to individual believers' accounts. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. He listed some, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply, and this is the message for you. This is your takeaway. I want you to understand, because I know you abundantly share. I know you believe God's word as cited from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And I know you hold it dear to your hearts. So the takeaway and your expectations should be, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So no matter what your situation is, me included, my God shall supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is something that you simply must believe. Now unto God, our Father, be glory forever and ever. And that is what I wanted to share. I want fruit to abound to your account. I want you to grow and abound in the goodness and greatness of all that God's word offers. Agape and abundant sharing are just two things. Thank you very much. I love you.